I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show in store for you tonight. And it'll be jam-packed with information as usual. And the theme for tonight's show will be about your biological computer and your third eye. But it's going to branch into lots of other pretty fascinating subject area. And before we get into that, a couple of points I'd like to make. Number one is a lot of people have talked about the usefulness of having paper and pencil handy. Sometimes I do kind of have that machine gun approach with information. And if you're one of those people that likes to kind of keep track of a lot of the topics on ET Yoga and some of the links that are suggested, paper and pencil can be a handy item. Also, I would like to take care of a little bit of business here with respect to my disclaimer, which is that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. I'd like to also, before we get into the actual information for tonight's program, make a suggestion to our listening audience. It's kind of a challenge, actually. And the challenge relates to the whole concept of putting positive spin on outer circumstances. And so I'm going to ask our listening audience to put a positive spin on tonight's program. And by doing that, you kind of muster up some emotion, and you can kind of just mentally say to yourself, you know, I've got no idea what positive thing could come from listening to this program tonight, but I'm going to throw a positive spin on it because I just can't wait and see what that might be. And if you just try this on tonight's program, especially if you've never tried this technique before, and then at the end, you can be your own judge and see how it turned out. Because the whole idea being is that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings, that we provide the positive spin or the negative spin on information, and that turns into our experience. So I'm going to challenge everybody to try that one on tonight's show. And also, I'd also like to give some background into how I went about coming up with the ideas for tonight's program. Because this whole concept about the biological computer and the third eye, to me, this is sort of the modern way to express or explain certain phenomena that can happen in terms of spiritual growth. And for me, it kind of goes way back to my first experiences with the vichara. And the Vichara was a technique that more commonly is known as the Who Am I technique that was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And, of course, it's not the type of thing that you just do while you're listening to a radio program. It's something that you take 15, 20 minutes and really, in your highest state of consciousness, in your highest degree of focus, you utilize the technique of putting your entire consciousness as much as possible in your third eye area. And at that point, you then ask the question, who am I? And following that up, after many times repeating that, with the concept that I am not my body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot, what spot? That's the technique. And you can go through it as many times as you feel comfortable. If you are highly, highly, highly successful, as I've been on a few occasions, you go through a doorway. And when you're through that doorway, now you're talking about being one with your higher self and experiencing other higher dimensions of consciousness. And that would include access to the Akashic Record. It also places you in a state where if you ask the question, you get the answer. You are totally in tune with the cosmic intelligence field. And for purposes of information, we all have the possibility of cluing in and tuning into that universal intelligence field. And that's where, in my opinion, true information, true fact comes from. And as Bashar has stated, for those that have difficulty tuning into that field, so they're not in a state where you ask the question, you get the answer. And in point of fact, when you're doing that technique, you will get the answer. The only question is if you can hear it or not. So by creating a frequency match to that information enables the experience. But as the Andromedans would say, it would behoove everyone to pay attention to not only what their own beliefs are, but how we derived at our own beliefs. In other words, did we hear it from a friend? Was it a credible source? Read it in a book? You know, we're at a workshop. The very many different ways that we acquire information, are we really using discernment? And by discernment, I mean, you know, using our inner radar to determine what's true for us. And of course, all beliefs are equally valid. Although I always use the example that if one person believes the earth is round and the other believes it's flat, the person that believes it's flat will have a more limited experience of all that is. So in talking about tonight's program, where the biological computer in the third eye, when I was putting together the program, back in the days when I first had experiences in this field and going through the doorway after doing the Who Am I technique, people didn't have laptops. And computer technology was probably there, but it wasn't really, you know, at the forefront, especially in the educational system. It kind of came along shortly thereafter. So I never really thought of explaining things in terms of the computer program. But one of the experiences that you have when you're through the doorway, or one with your higher self, is that you appreciate that you actually are functioning as if you're in two dimensions at once. Or it's, I used to say, when the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in, but you don't lose your individual personality. That was my way of explaining the feeling of being one with my higher self and yet at the same time being able to function as an individual. And it's these two different levels of awareness that do actually coexist. And I don't see it really brought up in very many places. And so when I came across some of the information that's going to be on tonight's program from my 10th dimensional Arcturian information, I was quite interested in it because it kind of gives a perspective, kind of like in the biological computer name. And even today in our science, what we're seeing is, I know from some of the Greg Braden information, that scientists have described the universe as not only holographic, but that in point of fact, it operates much like we were inside a giant virtual reality computer, with the energy being that of consciousness and the language of recognition being belief. And in simplified terms, what that means is what you believe is. That's the language of the universal computer. And so when I came across information that talked about our biological computer, this is some of the information that I was able to obtain. That your brain, the biological computer for the Earth vessel, serves to hold your consciousness in your third dimensional form. And within the unused 80% of your brain, you will find the owner's manual that comes with your computer. And this manual holds the matrix for the rules of incarnation, which allow you to consciously raise the resonance of your physical form. And these rules of incarnation contain important encrypted messages, such as how to activate your light body and how to communicate with other members of your multidimensional self wearing forms on other planets, galaxies, and dimensions. However, in order to read these encrypted messages, you must open your third eye and expand your consciousness into the sixth dimension. The sixth dimension is where your main hologram for reality regulation is found. And before the demise and fall of Atlantis and the subsequent fall in Gaia's resonance, everyone had access to whole brain thinking. Each person could communicate with the higher dimensions and activate their light body for multidimensional travel. This is why Atlantean technology was so advanced. Their receptive right brain could accept insight from the higher dimensions, and their projective left brain could act upon that information to make it manifest in their outer world. However, the Atlantean society gradually became more polarized. Males and females took on different roles in society, and consequently, the brains of the Atlanteans evolved into a male and female dominance of consciousness and thinking. And this polarization of humanity's thoughts and consciousness polarized Gaia as well. And this increased polarity caused the resonance of the planet to plummet. Fifth dimensional resonant energy is so high that the spin of the light photons does not allow polarization. Light and dark, male and female, are exactly the same. As the vibration lowers, so does the spin. And as the spin lowers in frequency, there is a start of one cycle and an end to another cycle. Therefore, there is, quote-unquote, time, as there is a beginning and an end. And between this beginning and an end is a time period. Now, to get into that a little bit further, a cycle is one complete rotation of a light molecule. In the fifth dimension, the spin is so rapid that it is continuous with no beginning and no end. Because of this, one complete rotation is not measurable. In the fourth dimension, the spin of the slowed energy does create polarization. However, the fourth dimensional rate of spin is wavering and unstable as it tries to create form in an ever-changing reality. The forms, which are a result of this divergent spin, are extremely mutable and prone to change. In the third dimension, time and form are very stable because the spin is incredibly slow in relation to the higher planes. The rate of spin of light photons for the physical world is so slow that matter is able to adhere to it. As this happens, the spin becomes even slower, more matter, still slower, and even more matter, even slower. The third dimensional world has been based on hard work and reward. And this process has been very addictive as well as a myth and has been created over many incarnations that you must put energy out to receive energy back. And this perspective leads to the belief that you must work hard and struggle in order to create a home, a job, have a child, etc. However, from the fifth dimensional perspective, work is not necessary for creation. Manifestation is done instantly with ease and unconditional love. The tenet of the third dimension is that you must do in order to obtain or create. On the other hand, in the higher dimensions, the tenet is that you must be in order to create. The third dimensional creativity is active and receptive, whereas the fifth dimensional creativity is passive and expressive. Expression of self is the only concept of possession in the dimensions above the fourth, as you create by being still and allowing your essence to flow through you. Now, in the sixth dimension, you can access the primary control panels for the holographic programs for third dimensional life. And in the seventh dimension, you can merge with your oversoul to see the ascension of the lower dimensional expressions of your life stream. And each oversoul has thousands and thousands of individual expressions. And those of you who choose to regain a connection with your oversoul will offer an immense contribution to the planetary as well as galactic consciousness. When you recalibrate your sixth, which is your brow chakra, and your seventh crown chakra to open your third eye, not only will the higher states of consciousness become more dominant in your brain, but you will also experience new brain waves, states of consciousness, and expanded brain functions. Your expectations, thoughts, and feelings create the reality that you perceive and thereafter experience. Your expectations are greatly determined by your core beliefs. So if you believe that reality is only what you can experience through your five physical senses, then the third dimension will be the only reality that you will experience. On the other hand, if you believe that there are many other dimensional realities hidden within or riding upon the third dimension, you will expect to see them as well. Your expectation of these other realities will entrain your bodily systems to activate your new extremely high or extremely low brainwaves to perceive other dimensional realities. In other words, if you choose to look, you will see. And the sixth chakra is often known as the third eye. However, according to the postulates of yoga, specifically those written by H.H. Mahat Upasri Sri Kumar Swamiji, the pituitary gland is the sixth chakra and the pineal gland of the seventh chakra must join their essence in the sacred triangle to open the third eye. And interestingly enough, all eyes, including the third eye, need a lens to give meaning to a perceived light sensation. And the third eye's lens is located in your aura, just in front of your sixth chakra. And by using this point in your aura, between your eyes and in the center of your forehead as a focal point during meditation, you can facilitate the development of your third eye's lens. And using this form of meditation also facilitates theta, brainwave, consciousness, and beyond. So, again, interestingly enough, in the Who Am I technique, focusing on the third eye area, just that alone is a very positive thing to do. And, of course, each individual's level of results will vary. But I would suggest, as Sri Ramana Maharshi suggests, stick with it. Now, I'd like to diverge here for a moment before we get into continuing with more of that information from 10th density Arcturians and talk a bit about some of the information coming from David Wilcock. Now, David's got a really good video out about the third eye. And I think it's really worth a look at. And interestingly enough, in some of his information, he talks about some of the retrieved UFO technology, let's say, from crashed UFOs, and he talks about the chair. And apparently, the chair is one of the first things that they try to take from crashed UFO technology, because apparently there's a process here where when you're sitting in the chair and you meditate, there's a vortex that opens up in front of you and interfaces with your consciousness and the chair. And the chair is a psychic amplifier, and it takes you and the ship where you want to go. And it's like a physical manifestation of the third eye. And they can create a wormhole from the chair as well. And I think this is a really phenomenal sort of area to explore. And that is some of this technology that really does relate to the third eye. And I know it was about 10 years ago or so that I became exposed to or led to a number of topics that to me sort of intertwine with this whole concept of timelines and time travel and all the functions that basically that the third eye does. I mean, in a sense, it's our own gateway into multidimensional consciousness. It's our own personal stargate, if you like. And some of these topics, I would suggest if you've never explored them, do some Google search on these, because I found them highly, highly interesting. Of course, you need to use your own discernment, because on the internet there's just so much garbage out there, but there's lots of truth out there as well. And more particularly, the disinfo that includes an initial, I call it sucking you into the truth and then providing an agenda later, that's the stuff that's more difficult to weed through. However, some of these topics include the amazing studies by Clive Baxter and his study with plants. And I know he's been dissed by the scientific community for a long time, but in my opinion, Clive is right on. And he's got some amazing, amazing studies that he's done with communication with plants, and even showing instantaneous communication between a plant and its owner from halfway around the world, instantaneous communication. So again, I guess because this touches into an area that's you know, potentially have some military implications, why that his information has been not considered more highly, or that we would hear about this in more in our mainstream education. Another topic, obviously, that has become relevant was this whole topic concerning Planet X. Now, it was back in 2003 when I first studied about that topic, because obviously that was the year that there was supposed to be the big close pass by of Planet X. And by the way, according to Bashar, probably no one in our lifespan is ever going to see Planet X. So, you know, just goes to show you how much disinformation was out on the Internet at that time. And in my opinion, still there. You know, it's one of those any day now type of things. And you can see it from the South Pole and all this other kind of, in my opinion, malarkey. But doesn't mean there isn't a real Planet X. And I do concur with the Zechariah Sitchin information with respect to his discoveries in the Sumerian tablets around the fact that Planet X actually orbits perpendicular to our solar system and is on about a 3,600-year cycle and has had a number of passbys to Earth. So, in point of fact, the information, in my opinion, is correct. But the timing of the passbys, that's the part that's off. Some of the other interesting core connections to third eye time travel things were the and connected to this whole idea of a chair was the Montauk experiments. And there's lots of stuff on the Internet about Preston Nichols and some of the work he was doing. And he talks about using a chair and amplifying human thought and being involved with time travel experiments. So to me, this is another fascinating area, as well as in my world, the Philadelphia experiment. In point of fact, yeah, it happened. And I know it's not considered fact in, you know, mainstream media or even among a lot of the population. But in my opinion, just an opinion, for whatever my nose for truth is, that in 1943, the USS Eldridge was involved with an experiment using unified field energy and, in point of fact, disappeared not only from radar detection, but completely vanished and actually turned up in another shipyard. I think it was down in Virginia somewhere. And one of the occupants, well, there were several apparently that actually took a little time travel trip. His name is Al Billick. And I personally, I've seen quite a few interviews with Al Billick, and I think the guy is legit. And he claims that he ended up going from about doing a 40-year jump from 1943 to 1983. And interestingly enough, there was another experiment going on in 1983. And according to him, and I think there's a kernel of truth in this too, that there's a connection between the 1943-1983 and that the whole thing was probably a setup. And the setup and the experiment actually caused a rift in the time-space continuum and would have enabled large numbers of parallel universe craft to actually invade our Earth. And from what I understand, positive ETs intervened in that scenario. And according to him, those two points had to both happen, the experiment in 1943 and the ones that were going on in 1983, in order for that to have occurred. Anyway, a very fascinating topic to look at. It's also, there's a movie out, and actually it's one of those you can get for free on your Internet without having to pay for it or sign up for something. I think it's YouTube, and according to Al Billick, the basics of the story are pretty much factual. The love story is kind of makes it a movie, but the actual events are pretty close to what he claims actually occurred. So that's the Philadelphia experiment. I think that there are a number of topics that kind of correlate to the this idea of time. Certainly, the Billy Meyer story. If you've never looked into the Billy Meyer story, UFO from the Pleiades. That's to me that was one of my first. I had a gut feeling that this, in point of fact, happened. So Billy did have contact with Pleiadians and Pleiadian craft, and he also made contact with a being whose name was Semjazi. And by reading some of the information that he put out in that book, conferred information, cross-referenced with a lot of information that I had at the time that made that click for me as a very positive thing to look into. And I think there's a lot of info from Alex Collier and as an Andromedan contactee as well that is very fascinating. He states at this point in time that there are actually torsion fields emanating from the center of the galaxy and that are assisting to moving all the dimensions up one level, and I certainly concur with that as well. In fact, when I was growing up, 7.8 hertz was the frequency of the Earth. That was always taught in all the textbooks, and it's over 12 today. I know that's not going to be in your evening news anytime soon, but if you want to Google search the Schumann frequency of the Earth right now, you'll find that. And even Bashar has recently expressed that his home civilization, the Esasani, are now called the Shakina because their whole society moved up one-dimensional level. So in my opinion, it's happening. And also, I think that there's lots of interesting disclosure information in the Stargate SG-1 series. Apparently, the old ones, and I haven't seen them all because I don't watch television that much. But when I was in Europe, where I used to eat dinner, the show happened to be coming on, and every so often I'd be looking at the show, and I'd be going like, wow, that rings true. Like, where's this information coming from? Like, who's doing this show? And if memory serves, that when I was looking at some of the credits for some of those shows, it actually said at the bottom, thanks in part to cooperation from the U.S. Space Command. So, yeah, and I'm one of those people that kind of, yeah, I do believe there's a U.S. Space Command, too, and that not exactly the same that is portrayed in the movie, but lots of true connections. Again, we're talking about Stargates and Stargate technology, which also brings up the fascinating story. If you've never looked at the whole idea of the Transylvania discovery. And there's two books out called Transylvania Sunrise and Transylvania Moonrise, which is concerning some amazing technology that's claimed to have been found there that's obviously off limits to the public, but relates to a 50,000-year holographic history of the Earth as well as Stargate technology. There's also supposedly, when that was activated, it also activated the Stargate that was found in Iraq. They talk about tunnels that lead to the Giza Plateau all the way from, like, Romania, Transylvania, and another underground passages that lead to Tibet, and another one to Iraq. And, of course, we know that Bashar has stated as well that under the Sphinx in time, in fact, currently as we speak, apparently, are being discovered Hall of Records there as well, which he says at some point will be made public. So the proof's in the pudding on that one as well. Now, it's interesting to note, I think, that Dr. Pete Peterson, who was interviewed at Project Camelot, talked about ratfish oil. It's also called skatefish oil that helps to decalcify the pineal gland. And certainly we also know that it calcifies by fluoride in our water system. So obviously there's some intent there, in my opinion. We don't want to have too many people with active third eyes out there. And he also said that one drop of the oil put in a slice of bread eaten daily would eliminate cavities and no tooth decay. And according to him, this is Dr. Pete Peterson, that they did this on thousands and thousands and thousands of children in Europe after World War II. And likewise, you can guard against hardening of the arteries. And he further stated that the reason that the fish oil doesn't turn rancid is obviously because it's an antioxidant, and it's the best antioxidant known to man, as far as he knows. And Price called it Activator X, and it has a definitive chemical formula, and it could definitely be put out there, but it would eliminate most of heart surgery, it would eliminate tooth decay, so it's not put out there because it isn't efficient in our capitalistic system. Now, David Wilcock also states that the pineal gland is activated when you go to sleep, secreting melatonin and also dimethyltryptamine, or DMT, and that there's water in the pineal gland, and in most people, it is calcified. And it's supposed to be used for transdimensional access. And it has rods and cones, just like your eyes. It also is the anchor point for the silver cord, and it is a gateway into time-space. Now, could we reverse engineer the pineal gland is the interesting question, or has it already been done? And according to Wilcock, he says yes, and specifically points to what he calls Project Looking Glass. And he says that the technology is actually pictured near the end of the movie Contact. And there's also what's called the Orion Cube that was found in the Roswell crash. And apparently inappropriate energy passing through these devices apparently can have disastrous effects on the Earth. So these have all been shut down since just before 2012. And interestingly enough, I think by using some of those technologies, certainly the powers that be on the planet they saw a close passing of Planet X, but whether it was that catastrophe or another catastrophe, they were certainly expecting a big-time catastrophe to happen by 2012, and thus we see all the underground facilities and the ability for those in the know to survive underground. And according to Wilcock, they've also looked at future timelines. And they found that actually we do have multiple futures that we can choose, and that conscious focus clearly reflects the idea that thought creates reality. And it is also clear that the pineal gland, when activated, becomes a stargate or portal into higher dimensions and time-space. And I find this is pretty fascinating stuff because when we start talking about timelines and looking into the future, according to one source, Dan Burrish, who was also interviewed at Project Camelot, he says that he's actually used the technology. When he had a negative thought or a negative expectation, he saw a negative timeline for 2012, but he was also aware of a positive thinking would create a positive timeline. Now, that's totally consistent with Bashar information and what we're talking about at the top of the show about placing positive spin or having positive expectation, creating positive expectation and a positive experience. And so to me, this is all cross-references with each other. Now, I'd like to share with people tonight some information from Teal Scott. And if you haven't ever checked out Teal Scott, I really suggest you do. I think she's a phenomenal source of information. And Teal says that gives a technique, actually, to help assist to activate and open your third eye. And it is the opening of the sixth chakra. And by the way, chakra is a vortex point where the stream of consciousness from your higher self, which is energy, which we call prana, feeds into the physical human form. And when you're in the first chakra or centered there, it's more instinctual. Second chakra is the sex chakra. Third is more about personal power. Fourth would be the beginning of awareness that the universe is an integrated whole, that you're part of that integrated whole. Fifth chakra energy is more of a precise of the same concept of the fourth chakra, but so that everything in your life is integrated towards that particular goal. Sixth chakra represents an achievement of or a culmination of that, which also, you know, is a vortex into the higher dimensional aspects of your higher self. And seventh, the difference between sixth and seventh is sort of a flip between knowing it and being it. So those are kind of rough descriptors for the chakra system. Now, she suggests first to eat a vegan diet, avoid fluoride. Second, to eliminate dominance of the normal two eyes, so you either have to close your eyes or be in pitch darkness when you're doing the activation techniques. To keep your back straight, lie down, watch the breath in and out, and breathing in the nose and out the mouth. And you can observe thoughts flow. And you want to focus on the tension and intentionally release the muscles around your eyes and around your ears and any other place on your head, your scalp, where there might be tension. Then take a deep breath and all the way in for as long as possible. Then create the sound, tho, spelled kind of like T-H-H-O-H-H. And on the exhale, put your tongue between your teeth and chant, so six times in a row. And you can vary the pitch of so to its appropriate vibratory connection with the third eye to feel that so sound. And next, you can breathe in deeply and hold for a count of six, and then breathe in and hold the breath. And this time, use the tone may, like in the month of May, and play with that pitch or tone as well, and feel the right tone that vibrates your third eye, and repeat that six times. And then with the eyes closed, you can imagine your third eye open. You can keep your eyes closed. What do you see? What do you feel? Observe what you see and feel with no judgment. And last, focus on the breath, and when you feel ready to come back to the third dimension, you want to focus back on the breath, which is your doorway to and from the physical dimension, and then you want to open your eyes, and you want to make sure that you write down the exact impressions which you received or saw, and repeat the process every day for 3 weeks. And in time, you'll start to see extra-dimensional images, and you can use some affirmation like clarify now, which would be, in a way, as a sense to tell that dimensional reality to organize itself in a way that you can perceive it, in a way that you can translate it and understand what it is that you're seeing. And we are entering the next dimension, and it's not like on Earth in 3D where we think and then it takes time to manifest. And there, in that dimension, there it is. You think it and it is so. So later on, you could ask a question or you could ask to be able to see something that you haven't seen before. And there's no perspective that would be off limits. And at the end of each session, you would want to rub your hands together and create friction, and then place your hands over your third eye and your physical eyes. It just helps to integrate the experience. And in time, it'll be activated and working all the time. And some of the daily symptoms would be clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentient experiences. And extreme food sensitivities are a common experience. Also, sensitivity to loud noises, to certain smells or textures that never bothered you before. So those are some of the symptoms that you got, you know, stuff happening. And as well, I might add a ringing in the ears. I know a lot of people have asked me about the ringing in the ears. Well, that's a sign that third eye is starting to be activated. And we all receive information in different ways. And the four main ways are physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. So the mental psychics activate the third eye the most. And these people, they see clairvoyant images. And the emotional intuitives are the ones that feel. And we associate this as intense empaths of our time. And the spiritual intuitives just know. They don't know how they know. They just know. And the physical intuitives feel things through their body, through actual physical sensations, which their body interprets. And each of us has a primary language through which psychic information comes from. So when you activate the third eye, you'll notice that the particular sense, which is your highest psychic sense, will be activated, and it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And next would come a spillover effect into the other areas of perception. So, for example, like I'm one of those just kind of thing, in the know type of thing. If I hear something, it kind of rings a bell for me of truth. I don't even know why I know that. But so over a course of time, then it might spill over into seeing the psychic images or the feeling of the empath. So that's kind of how that process works. Should also mention that something I want to get into that I've heard very good reports about is facial yoga, again, related to relaxing and relieving tension in the facial area. And I was given a name, Carol DiMaggio, and that's D-E-M-A-G-I-O on YouTube. Apparently has some excellent films around the topic of facial yoga. Of course, I always recommend the Pleiadian spinning techniques and the Pleiadian pillar of light technique, as well as pranayamas with superoxygenates the system. And by the way, those are available at etyoga.com. And for more about integrating your multidimensional operating system into the third dimensional brain, I suggest a website, and I'm just going to give you the whole quote here because I've looked under topics and I can never find it, but I can find it if I put in my computer this. Know that all the challenges of your third dimensional life, quote unquote, I'll repeat that one. Know that all the challenges of your third dimensional life. If you want to follow up on that link, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Now, continuing with information from the Arcturians, the process of raising your kundalini and opening your third eye activates your pineal gland, which is the hyperdimensional stargate built into your human physiology. And kundalini activation is the result of balancing all your chakras and raising the feminine force of Lady Shakti from your root chakra into divine unity with the masculine force of Lord Shiva in the crown chakra. And this blending and balancing of your feminine and masculine energies is known as the mystical marriage and opens your third eye and fully activates your pineal stargate. With the opening of your pineal stargate, you can accept the multidimensional torsion waves directly into your daily consciousness and earth vessel. Furthermore, different DNA is turned on or off by different frequencies of light. And the third dimensional spectrum of light turns on the 2-3% of your human genome DNA, which runs your third dimensional operating system. And this operating system is based on the illusions of separation and limitation that arise from a strongly polarized reality. And this system can only accept, integrate, and utilize light that is limited to the small spectrum of the physical reality. Since the fall of Atlantis, and especially during the last 2,000 years of the Piscean Age, the higher dimensional light has been lost to most of humanity. However, now you are entering the golden age of Aquarius, and Gaia has moved into the flow of torsion waves emanating from the galactic center. And these torsion waves of multidimensional light turn off your 3% of human genome DNA and turn on your 97% of your quote-unquote junk DNA as they enter through the small quantum vortexes of the junk DNA. And once the multidimensional light is accepted and integrated into your Earth vessel, it turns on your new multidimensional operating system, which is stored in your junk DNA. And then the multidimensional light slowly takes precedence over the physical spectrum of light, and the third dimensional operating system of your 3% DNA begins to turn off. And this is why so many of you have an ever-decreasing interest in the third dimensional reality and deeply long for multidimensional access. And that of the fifth dimension and beyond. Fortunately, during your transition, both operating systems will be operating and operational, allowing you to simultaneously live in both realities. And this is the point that gave me the idea for tonight's show, is because that's exactly another way of explaining what happens when you're at one with your higher self and yet can function through your individual personality, because you're operating with both systems happening at the same time. And the higher dimensional realities have always existed, but they were beyond the perceptions of your third dimensional operating system. So because the expanded states of consciousness of your multidimensional operating system were not yet, so they say, quote-unquote, online, therefore, these dimensional realities were forgotten. Fortunately, your potential to perceive these dimensions remained latent within your biological computer brain, awaiting the activation of your multidimensional operating system. And, of course, this is the most natural way to experience higher dimensional frequencies. And there have always been, of course, artificial ways and methods to briefly open your third eye or gain insight into higher dimensions. And, of course, back in the 60s, there was, you know, LSD, and back in Indian times, the young braves were sent out on vision quests, and they may or may not have been used with peyote plants, or in modern times, we hear a lot about the ayahuasca. I'm not an expert on ayahuasca, but I think there's a general rule of thumb that relates to any of the artificial means of obtaining consciousness, and that is with respect to intent. And if your intent is focused in the area of self-empowerment, then that's the correct use for whatever substance you might use. In other words, if it's strictly recreational, it's not really a positive way to go about it. And the rule of thumb here, and it's not a play on words, is if you put your self-empowerment to the side, then you can expect side effects. And, of course, with some of the plants, natural plants, such as the marijuana plant, this is would be much, much preferable, let's say, than the hard drugs. Bashar has an interesting YouTube. He has two articles, or actually videos out there, one on cocaine, one on marijuana. And he's saying that basically what the idea would be is to try to remember your experiences and recreate them so that you can, you know, have the idea of being high, not getting high. And as well, some of the real downsides that apparently the human condition is prone to experiencing the latter stages of a process of total burnout with respect to some of the more hardcore drugs. And these can cause a total disintegration of bodily function, as well as a removal of the sheathing around the brain, so that it's also, it becomes like kind of like an exposed nerve. Definitely not something that you'd want to have happen. Now, some really interesting, I find, information that's sort of a sidelight to, let's say, the Roswell crash and the recovery there. Was some information from, according to Dan Burrish. And according to Dan Burrish, 7 years after the Roswell crash, another ship appeared and landed by prearrangement with our military. And the dead bodies recovered during the late 1940s were returned to the aliens, but a very interesting and top-secret agreement was entered upon, and he says it's called the Tau 9 Treaty. And he states that the alien race did indeed, at a past time, have human slaves here and did have them mine gold and often minerals. And they were approved, they proved through holograms and other evidence, which showed the ancient events of Earth and its people, that they played not only God, but Satan and evil on both sides of the fence in almost all human religious systems and paradigms. And little is known about this treaty by most of the public, and it's renewed every 9 years, according to Dan Burrish, nine being a most sacred number, at least with the Zaytan factions that are signatories. And the initial treaty was signed in 1958, renewed in 67, 76, 85, 1994, and 2003. And this info came from 2005. And he said that the signatories to the 2003 treaty are the Magi and the Illuminati, who together with representatives from the United Nations represent the present human population, that there are at least three extraterrestrial groups that are also signatories, being the Republic Society of Zaytan J-Rods, the Rogue Zaytan J-Rods, and the Orion Talls. And the Republic Society of the J-Rods are allegedly the descendants of the human survivors of the catastrophe that they took to the underground shelters and that have been prepared on Earth via MJ-12 since about the mid-1950s. And when the Majestic 12, I guess, first learned of the approach of the winged planet they call Planet X, Wormwood, or Nibiru. And they move off from the Earth to Zeta Reticulum at some point in our future, where they are known to us presently as P plus 45K, or from 45,000 years in our present, rounded, and P52s from 52,000 years ahead of our present time rounded. And the so-called rogues are allegedly the descendants of those humans who survive underground in shelters controlled by the present-day Illuminati. And the Orientals are the descendants of those humans who survive on the surface of the Earth, eventually going to the Orion star system. I think it's fascinating to note that obviously in some timeline, and obviously we're not on that exact timeline now, it seems like we're creating it as we go, but obviously there was a timeline where there was an Earth catastrophe, because these are people coming back from a future from that timeline. And I also like to give some what I call a little bit of surprise information here from 2012 Enigma website, and this is kind of a bonus information here. It's believed that the galactic energetic alignment that occurred in 2012 was amplified by these looking glass and Stargate devices, which led to the natural destruction of most of life on Earth. And the pineal gland is a hyperdimensional Stargate built into our human physiology. And this technology was reverse engineered by ancient Atlantean society. The Stargate functions by the use of ordinary water, H2O, when shielded from all the electromagnetic references for our existing third-dimensional space-time. And the water can shift and have a connection made to an inverted reality of time-space. Three dimensions of time and one dimension of space. And when time-space has been entered, there is access to one dimension of space and the ability of movement through time. And a Bashar analogy of this would be like a projector, a film going through a projector with each of the frames, let's say, being a different year. So the projectionist could actually look at any particular year they wanted, although whichever frame was going through the projector and lit up on the screen would be the one that the most of the people would focus on. So that would be where their attention is. So when fired up by means of kundalini activation on the pineal gland, Stardate technology is accessed. And kundalini activation is the balancing of all the chakra energy centers within the human body that will ultimately allow for pineal gland activation. And this activation is felt as a ringing or a buzzing or a pressure inside of the head. And during this process, a series of complex electromagnetic intersecting rings of energy spin around the water within the pineal gland, which causes the pineal gland to, quote-unquote, gate over into time-space, where you have access to linear time, and it can be directed to some degree by your conscious focus. And it also indicates that the Orion Cube, or Yellow Book, as it is sometimes nicknamed, was a square-shaped metallic cube that was recovered from a crashed disk in 1947. And this cube served as a communication device for the surviving extraterrestrial, which we now know to be a time traveler from Earth's future. So in other words, there was a survivor of at least one of the crashes. And the cube was also a recording device of Earth's history up to the evolutionary point in time of the Orion visitors. And the Orion cube could be used to view events and places in time through a holographic projection that would be projected just above the top of the cube once activated. Through Orion extraterrestrial and elite secret government treaty, the method to operate the device was provided by the Orion time travelers. And for many years, and under enormous secrecy, the Orion Cube had been shared by affiliated secret government factions as a vehicle to see into their respective futures. And I promised a friend that I'd give a little surprise information that kind of relates to the Stargate SG-1 series, and apparently 605, of course there are other numbers involved, but the last three digits utilizing a Stargate, 605 is the address of Mars. And if you're stuck someplace in the universe and can't get home, apparently our address is 606. And if you dial a 1, it takes you to the original inhabited world in our local area by a race known in our history as the Aer, spelled capital A-E-A-I-R. And they are depicted in the Stargate SG-1 television series as the Asgard. And Daniel was told that they live on a large asteroid that orbits a pulsar, not a regular star, and the unique qualities of this system have allowed them to survive vastly longer than most civilizations would. And when a planet evolves out of the third density, their gate address is then recycled and reassigned to another third density planet. And apparently the addresses range from 0 to 999. And apparently this system was best depicted in the end scene of the movie Contact. So in kind of tidying things up for this evening, I would like to at least give a small plug for my website, which is at www.etyoga.com. And I'd like to mention that my new book's there, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, and that actually there is a website that gives about the first four chapters of my new book online, and it's at etyoga2012andbeyondscribed.com. I'm going to give that one out again, etyoga2012andbeyondscribed.com. That's S-C-R-I-B-E-D, scribe.com. And that other website that I mentioned before that you guys could check out is Know That All the Challenges of Your Third Dimensional Life. So it's called Know That All the Challenges of Your Third Dimensional Life. And I'd like to remind everybody that at the top of the show, if you took my challenge and threw a positive spin on tonight's show for a positive experience, that aha moment or whatever way in which you interpret that, do a check, see if it worked. If it worked for that, try it on other things, especially anything that you would view as a negative in your life. Throw a positive spin on it, note it down, log it, and see how it turns out. And as usual, my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And as becoming a standard with our ET Yoga endings, I guess the guys will now share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation from Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back, all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea, and then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part.